You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:50am with Dave Kellner, Rory Delaghi and Kevin O'Malley in the studio. Two jumps meetings, one from Fontwell and one from Utoxeter, accompanied by all other action on the fibre sand at Southwell. So three meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Kevin O'Malley. How are you, Kevin?
Good morning, Mark. I'm very, very good indeed.
Good man, good man. Pretty good weekend of racing to look back on. So we'll use the questions in the Racing Post Monday, Jory, to reflect on that.
Yeah, no worries.
And then we'll get stuck into Tuesday. It was great this weekend, wasn't it?
It was a really, really good weekend of racing. And there's more to come. And there has been some excellent weekends of racing. I just love the jump season. So, the season is rolling on really nicely.
Yeah, at the moment, every Saturday seems to be a big Saturday.
And Sunday as well. Yeah. Sundays as well are really delivering, especially in Ireland.
Yeah, fantastic stuff in Ireland. Anyway, let's get stuck into the Monday, Jory. Is there more to come from Tingle Creek winner Saida Grugie?
I'd probably take evens that he doesn't win again this season. Right. He's a horse that I have a great deal of time for. I tipped him in my blog Saturday. I put up six horses. Him, 5-1 was one of them, and the rest of them lost. So I only managed to get my stakes back because of him. But I think the race fell apart a bit for him in terms of the defections. Dodging Bullets wasn't there. Undersaw wasn't there. It was made a little bit easier for him. But his jumping seemed to be back to something like its best, bar what happened at the last. I find it difficult to envisage his tasks becoming any easier as the seasons go on. He might go for the Clarence House at Ascot next, or he could go to Kempton. I'm not sure which, but either way, he's pretty sure to be facing stiffer opposition than he did, or at least as stiff, and it's just a question of whether or not he can hold his form well enough. In terms of the champion chase at Cheltenham, I wouldn't be in a rush to back him for that either, but he had his day in the sun today, and whatever happens, he will have had a good season. So I wouldn't be massively keen to keep on side with him, but it depends on race to race who turns up on the day.
Okay, second question. Should we be getting excited about Henry the Eighth Stunner Ahmad, who was mightily impressive?
Well, absolutely. He's only a baby, and he went to Sandown and won a novice chase really impressively, and he's done exactly what he did there against far stiffer opposition. His trainer is adamant that he needs to go right-handed, which limits his options in terms of spring festivals, certainly at Aintree and Cheltenham, but he's already mentioned that he might take in the Celebration Chase, which would be a step up to racing against senior chasers if he does that. I don't know if Connections might be tempted to go to Punchestown with him. That's a right-handed track that could suit. But he jumps terrifically well, and you always worry about these horses that have such a gung-ho style of racing. At what point are they going to get sick of it and down tools a bit? But he's a really exciting young chaser, and he's certainly one of the best we've seen so far this season.
Yeah, the way he attacked his fences was quite something, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Comparisons after the race with Tingle Creek, they were saying possibly next year's Tingle Creek could be the target for him.
Well, yeah, exactly. If he keeps developing as he is, but he needs to continue that progression, maintain his zest for racing and for jumping. It's worth noting as well that the yard are just firing in winners left, right, and centre. Yeah. So, what happens when they have a cloud over the yard if he comes out again? So, there's lots of questions that he needs to answer still. And he's already been pigeonholed into right-handed tracks, which is no big deal, to be honest. But, anybody looking to back him for the Arkle or anything like that should keep their shillings in their pocket for maybe for another horse.
Yeah. Is entry scorer Don Poley tailor-made for the Gold Cup?
Of course he is. Absolutely. He's a beast. He didn't show how much of a beast he can be the other day. But Manny Clouds ran right up to something like his best there, I thought. Manny Clouds was jumping for fun. He was travelling. He travelled powerfully throughout the race, and he really set up the race nicely for Don Poley, who, as usual, raced lazily, and Brian Cooper was having to get after him a little bit. But I think he knew, especially in receipt of the £5 he was getting from Manny Clouds, that coming over the last, if he was within two or three lengths of him, he'd be able to collar him, you know, because just he has that little bit more pace than him. I personally, just looking at Don Polly, the way he jumped, the way he travelled, I think he was only probably about 80%, 75% there. I think he was nowhere near what he's capable of. And I think come Cheltenham Day, he's going to be fully tuned to perfection. And I think he's going to take an incredible amount of beating in what is, you know, it's shaping up to be a stellar Gold Cup. Let's hope they all manage to get there in one piece. I mean, he might go for the Lexus yet. The Lexus might prove a sharp enough test for him, you know. It wouldn't surprise me if he got beaten the Lexus by slightly speedier 3 miler, so to speak, and then be produced on Cheltenham this absolutely spot on for the Gold Cup. So it's certainly, in answer to the question, yes.
What does the future hold for the runner-up Many Clouds?
You know, again, another horse that's quite dear to me. I've got an awful lot of time for him. I just worry. I mean, we all saw the way he finished the Grand National. He was very wobbly in his legs after the Grand National last year. A lot of people were worried about his well-being. And in April, it's not going to be any easier for him carrying more. But, you know, assuming that he gets to the race in top condition, he's obviously a massive player. I mean, he's going to need to prove to be one of the best stayers of all time if he wins it. That's the kind of calibre of horse he'll be talking about if he manages to pull it off in the Grand National again. But he just jumps and gallops and jumps and gallops, and he has an abundance of class and guts. So I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah, there's the thing hanging over his head a little bit that recently a Grand National winner never wins a race again.
Yeah.
Of all the recent winners, with him being so young and showing his attitude still there, he's one of the more likely types to probably win another race, isn't
he? Yeah, well, I think the handicap will be framed in such a way that it doesn't discount him completely in terms of the weights as well, but he will be carrying a big weight. And considering how tired he got last year after the race, you just wonder, will he really be up for it as much as he was last time, this time? So, yeah, I mean, I wish him all the best. I mean, he'd bring the house down, wouldn't he, if he did manage to win?
Yeah. What else has got you tingling over the last few days?
I mean, there's been quite a few horses that have impressed me. I mean, a great view at Punchestown. I thought he's a really, really interesting horse. I think he's only a 4-year-old, trained by Dennis Cullen. And he's shown a lot of professionalism given the size and scope that he has. And he won the Novice Hurdle there. He beat another really nice horse trained by Henry de Bromhead, who was a lot more experienced than him, called Attribution. And he took a long time to get going, but over the way he quickened up was really impressive. And I think he's going to be an absolutely super chaser down the line. But, you know, he'll hold his own in Novice Hurdles this season, but he'll really come into his own next season. A great view. And then, you know, obviously Jack Adam was just super over 2 miles four. I thought he'd find it a little bit you know, sharp for him at the first time of asking against a couple of race fit rivals, against a couple of top class rivals whose ideal trip is 2 miles four. And you know, he's a Gold Cup horse, so the fact that he was able to be produced first time out sharp enough to beat some cracking rivals over an inadequate trip and not just win but win by 12 lengths was a real statement from Jack Adam. I don't think he got enough credit for his run in the Gold Cup. He's only a baby too, he's only 6, and he turned 7 in a couple of weeks time, and he's another one who's going to go to Cheltenham with huge claims. So there's lots to be excited about at the moment.
Alright, nice easy question to finish then as well. What's the answer to Cheltenham's big handicap puzzle on Saturday?
Well, I mean, I quite like the way that Anacotti won the Paddy Power Gold Cup. He's obviously gone up in the weights, but I think he's really benefited for this switch to the Alan King stable. And I mean, let's not forget this is a Grade 1 winning novice chaser, and he has an awful lot of quality about him. He lost his way a little bit for his previous stable. But it wouldn't... I mean, he's beaten a lot of the rivals in this race already. And it just wouldn't surprise me if he went and done it again. And if he does, if he wins off his mark, his revised mark, it's somewhere in the 150s, I think. If he does that, then you can be sure that Connections will be looking to Kempton for maybe a crack at the King George if he can do that. So I think that's what they'll be hoping to line up, because he does have a real affinity to Kempton. So yeah, I think Anacotti for me.
All right, good stuff. Let's get stuck into Tuesday's action then. Kevin's got 4 races picked out for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Tuesday's action. Kevin's got 4 races for us, as we mentioned. 3 of them at Uttoxeter and 1 of them at Southwell. We'll go through the 3 at Uttoxeter to start with. The 120 is the first of them, and this one is a handicap hurdle over a mile and 7.5 furlongs. Field of 9 here. Kevin, who do you like in there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky little contest, but the one I was looking at is Charles Pogson's Moi d'Or, who switched from John Quinn stable. He doesn't win very often, but he's got bags of experience, and he's still only a six-year-old, and he clocked a really good speed figure at Leicester last time out when he was the third to Sir Valentino, which was arguably a career best over hurdles, and any improvement from that would see him on the premises again. He should be a reasonable price, you know, maybe 5 or 6 to 1 for a little each-way bet, so something like that. Maidor will do for me in the 120.
All right, Maidor, the selection. And who are you most worried about in there, in opposition?
Probably Raquin Savage, if he's still going. I mean, he fell last time out, but he could be a well-handicapped horse.
Right,
and obviously Varane, out of top weight, is probably going to go off favourite, and he's been knocking on the door for a while now.
Yeah, and Skelton Yard still in pretty good nick as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, but Maidor, the selection in the 120. The 150 at Utoxeter is where we go next. This one is a handicap hurdle over it's almost 2.5 miles. Eight of them in the lineup here, and I suppose we could start with Baywing, who arrives in winning form.
He does. I mean, he was beaten a total of 185 lengths on his previous four starts for Nicky Richards. But I mean, he turned up. He won at Carlisle and really testing ground in November. He went off at evens that day. He was really well supported, and he justified that in no uncertain terms. Race really keenly, travelled well, jumped well. A steep rise of £15 here, but he does look as though improvement is highly likely again, and he'll definitely be the one to beat. It just depends on if he can hold his form. If he can, then I don't think his rivals will be much of a worry to him.
Yeah, I imagine he's going to be relatively short in the betting. So is there any other alternatives in there that you try and get a bit more juice out, or do you think Baywing's a good thing?
I think the race revolves around him, Mark. Yeah, I think he'll be a very difficult horse to beat.
So Baywing in the 150. The 220 at Utoxeter is where we go next. This one is a Class 3 limited handicap chase. It's over 2.5 miles. Only seven of them in the lineup here, which scuppers some each way angles, I suppose. But how do you see the race going?
Yeah, I mean, as you say, there's no real each way angle into the race. So the horse that I was looking at is Friendly Royal. I mean, sandwiched between his two wins this season was a shocker of a run at Sedgefield. He really disappointed there. He went off at 15-8 favourite. But he left that run behind here at Utoxeter next time out over 2.6 miles on pretty soft ground, which was a really good effort. He won very easily. He's gone up £10 for that. But I think that'll be negated somewhat by the fact that he drops back to 2.4 miles here, which, again, on pretty soft ground, will ensure that he stays that trip really, really well for Sue Smith. So I just think... I mean, he did put in that poor run, which does raise a little bit of a concern. But if he can hold his form and produce what he did last time out around here, then I think he'll be very difficult to beat step back in trip.
To Silver we go for the final selection, and this is in the 330 at Silver. It's a Class 5 handicap over 1.75 miles, a field of 9 here. And just a note, by the way, William Hill offering money back if your horse finishes second in all races at Southwell on Tuesday. So good news there. Kevin, who do you like in there?
Yeah, another trappy little contest, but I quite like the look of Swift Cedar, who was really impressive here at Southall over 1.04 miles early in November. Clocked a really good time. Went up £6 for that and ran at Wolverhampton 8 days later. It was probably a little bit soon for him because he came ninth of 11 there. But he steps up in trip here, and he showed no signs at all of stopping at Southall when he won impressively. And I can see him running another big race. I mean, we know the stable are capable of producing horses to win again after a poor run, and certainly conditions here will be to suit. I think Frosty Berry is going to be a pretty tough horse to beat, and Mr. Snoozy as well is another one with a big chance. Northside Prince has always promised much, but doesn't really win very often. So, yeah, I just think if Swift Cedar can leave that run behind at Wolverhampton last time, he should be on the premises.
Swift Cedar, the selection in the 330 at Southwell. Then, as always, Kevin, let's just have a little bit of a summary. If you'll spin us through your selections for Tuesday one more time.
Yeah, we'll go to Utoxeter for the 120, where I think Maidor has a decent each way chance. It doesn't win very often, but he has lots of experience and clocks a good speed figure last time out at Leicester. In the 150, I think Baywing has the look of a very progressive horse. After pretty modest beginnings last season, he returned for his seasonal reappearance and was very impressive at Carlisle last time out. And Friendly Royal in the 220 for Sue Smith. It disappointed two runs back, but he left that run behind Utoxeter. Won very, very easily last time out. It's gone up £10 for that, which looks more than fair. Steps back in trip, which I think will suit on the testing ground at Utoxeter. And the 330 at Southall, Swift Cedar, ran a poor race at Wolverhampton last time out. But if he can reproduce the form that saw him win at Southall before that over 1.04 miles quite impressively, I think he's got good each-way claims.
All right, good stuff. Thank you very much, Kevin. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Thank you very much, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Kevin O'Malley on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:50 a.m. Dave Kellner, Kevin O'Malley and Rory DeLaghi will be in the studio. We've got National Hunt meetings from Fontwell and Uttoxeter alongside all-weather action on the Fibre Sand at Southwell. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.